Welcome to the first in three special summer podcasts from Asset Finance Connect, sponsored by Alpha. My name is Richard O'Donoghue, and over the past few months, I've had the opportunity to chat with many guests about the outlook for the European asset finance industry in 2025 and beyond. Over the next three episodes, we're going to revisit some of the highlights from those discussions. And naturally, there's only one place to start: AI. This has been the hot topic in 2025, and back in April, Richard Houston of Vamos joined me to discuss all things AI. Once we got beyond the novelty of having two people named Richard on the same podcast, we got down to some serious questioning, and I asked him if AI is simply another overhyped technology.
So first of all, I definitely think it's true to say that, you know, it's the hype is even for me kind of exhausting. So I have a lot of sympathy for people who just find that exhausting, and it becomes sort of thing you go, okay, not more AI stuff now. And I think the tricky thing, and I completely understand, you know, why people might be fatigued with it, if you can't see the real value. And I think so far most people, outside of a few special exceptions, most people haven't seen the real value yet, right? And that's kind of partly what inspired me to start what I'm doing now, what we're doing with Vamos, because I had seen what the technology is theoretically capable of, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'd seen the capabilities, yeah. But it's such a different thing to practically apply that in a business setting.
So if it's not hype, what practical applications does AI have for the asset finance industry?
So one of the areas we've been working on quite closely is how it can help when you have communications, you know, in any form coming from a customer, let's say email. And on the operations side, that can lead to any number of actions, you know, administrative actions on the operations side. It might be going and looking up some information, checking against some policy, making some modification to a contract. Could be anything along those lines. And there's a fair bit of, you know, administrative work there. And so we started exploring this concept last year, and we presented it to a group of lenders at the Captives Forum. It was just a concept video, but the idea was using the AI, these latest models, to understand the email that has come in from the customer, to understand what the customer is trying to achieve, and to check against the company's policies and procedures and processes, and then to make intelligent suggestions.
That sounded very practical and grounded, and was a good illustration of how businesses can use AI today. But what about taking it to a whole different level? Is it possible to set up a company where the CEO is supported by a team of executives comprised only of AI agents? Allegra Patrizi did that when she founded Claridora AI. She told us about her executive team when she chatted to us last month.
So basically, there are four, and there is a CFO. His name is Fofi, because FOF AI. And then there's a CTO, Totai. There is a chief marketing officer, CMO, Momai. And then there is a chief legal officer, Lalai, because I needed a woman. And in Italian, A is for a woman. So that's basically my executive team. And basically, what did I do? I actually defined roles for each of them in the frame of my application. So for example, Momai has as a role to create all our external publication. So it's the LinkedIn post, it's the newsletter. Totai runs all the research teams that find some of the articles that I need for Claridora. Fofi runs all my subscription and the financial part of, you know, my accounting, those type of things. And Lalai has helped me put together all of the contracts that I need, for example, around privacy, for example, around GDPR, in order to be on the Apple Store, in order to make that application. So, and how did I go at creating them? Well, fundamentally, I thought, let's define exactly what they need to do. Let's, for example, take the chief marketing officer. And then for each role, so let's say write a post, I gave Momai the instruction of how you do things in our company. Our company is called Silver Stripes Ventures. So how do you do things in your company? So I had to write a brand brief. I had to write a how-to guide in our company. What's our culture? How do we do things? And I coded all that, fine-tuned the AI model that is used, and then created in NA10, and in make.com, which are two tools in order to create this agentic AI, basically I created the whole flows.
There you have it. A world where executive positions are replaced by agentic AI. However, this requires some knowledge of tools such as N10 and Make.com. And while Allegra taught herself to use these tools, and while these tools are becoming increasingly intuitive, most leaders simply want to get their teams to start using AI at a much more basic level. This was a popular topic at the European Leaders Summit in Amsterdam in May, and Emily Hammond of Alpha told a story that suggested some corporate efforts are doomed to failure. I caught up with her afterwards in a very noisy venue and asked her to share the story.
This is something I read on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a great source sometimes, but it was talking about some big companies and how they were really trying to get people to use AI and AI tools, and they were trying to get it in all their workforce and make sure that they had that behavioral change. Analogy had been, well, there are some companies who want to get their workforce healthier. So then they go, how do we do that? Oh, we'll put in a gym. But that's not the end point, right? That you have to get people to go to the gym. You have to get people to eat more vegetables. They're not going to be able to do that. But maybe if they serve them in the cafeteria, but they still have to get to eat them. But how do you actually get people to take time out of their day to go there to use it and to therefore benefit from it? So that was the thing about the AI tools. You can give it to them, but really a lot of people are reluctant to use them at the moment. They feel like it's taking away their sense of self-worth and parts of their job. So you actually have to do that behavioral change as well. So how do you do that? And that probably is another skill set that is needed in this whole transformation.
So how do you persuade people to go to the gym? I suggested to Emily that the answer may simply be to get people using AI rather than aiming for specific outcomes. And surprisingly, she agreed with this.
I think that's true, because you do just have to start using it, right? And people in my team might start using it for basic tasks that they want to do. But that doesn't mean they're going to go and use it to write user stories yet, because that is going to give them rubbish outcomes at this point in time. But they start doing it for other things, and then they can spend more time writing the user stories because that's going to need their brains. So it's that, you know, it's that how do you do that? But it's the actually show them the benefit, and maybe from their peers is actually quite a good thing. And that's what we found, you know, that someone in my team has been like, got this webinar transcript, put it in, here's the outcome, share that with everybody.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, that's actually pretty cool.
I like the idea of peer-to-peer sharing, as experience suggests that people generally respond better to ideas from peers than ideas imposed on them by their leaders. A number of people at the Amsterdam event also suggested that if leaders start using AI for basic tasks and team members see this, there's a greater chance of all team members adopting AI. In other words, leaders need to walk the talk when it comes to the adoption of AI. On a podcast immediately before the Amsterdam conference, John Murray of Alpha introduced us to e-invoicing. The benefits of this are clear, but one thing bothered me. What impact will AI have on e-invoicing and similar projects? Is there a risk that we're spending money today on projects that may simply be replaced by AI? John's answer was very insightful.
Well, I think this, and it may be a controversial view here, there is a bit of a risk that all this work we're doing with e-invoicing and all the standardization could become redundant. Because the rise of AI at the moment is doing some quite creative and interesting things. Now, yes, there's a bit of hype right now. There's not particularly too many use cases which are being productionized. But if you look at the rate at which AI is improving in the future, you can spit your invoice into some large language model and it will just read it and understand all that data. So why are we spending a lot of effort sort of defining standards and doing all this change management, especially on the SME side, to take that data and do all this sort of technical work to move it around, when actually in the future there could be a really simple solution there of just spitting it into some large language model and getting it all out again? So it's going to be interesting to see over the next 5 years how that works. Will the government agencies and will other technical companies sort of use AI effectively to help get those efficiencies? Or will we just end up building something which will then just get replaced in a few years' time?
It's clear that there's a lot to consider around AI. One thing I hadn't previously thought about, however, is the opportunities that it might create for women. Back in June, I asked Carmen Aina of BNP Paribas 3-Step IT about her experience as a woman in the technology industry and if having male role allies was important. Her response went well beyond what I was expecting.
Richard, this is what built my career. I mean, to come here, I only have male bosses.
Yeah.
I had only men that were mentoring me. I had men that trusted me. So you definitely need allies. You can't make it without that. You can't progress. You know, I have best mentoring and best role models. I look at them as role models. I didn't look at them as male versus women. But I think we need also, we need allies, definitely. Mm-hmm. We need more courage. And we need more role models because especially today, I look at some numbers before a couple of days ago. There are so few women in tech, less than 30%. And then if you look down to artificial intelligence, if you look to cloud and data, there are even less there.
Yeah.
And I think in AI where, you know, there is a lot of automation, but it is so important to have a human directing this artificial intelligence in one way or the other. Women can bring a lot of value. So I think, like you say, it's good that we talk now because there is still a lot of work to be done. I was just saying that the end will be when we don't talk about it and it will be done. But there is still a long way to go.
Carmen's comments got me thinking about the opportunities that AI might create for women in the tech industry. So I decided to explore this further with Allegra Patrizi. She expanded by saying that AI offered opportunities not only for women, but for anyone with empathy.
Women in general, but basically anybody that has empathy can actually find really its footing in AI. I'm writing a book at the moment that is called Care, Dare, Share, Lead and Thrive with Heart, Mind, AI. And the central thesis, if you want, is one of saying, look, if you want to run a large-scale transformation today, you cannot avoid AI. It will come and play some role, exactly like digital does play a role, and you cannot avoid it. But what is very important is that you don't go at it for AI for AI's sake, but that you actually start from really caring. Caring, what are the pain points? What are the needs? What are the reasons why your customers and your employees need from you, right? And then from there, you can start thinking what the solutions are to their needs, as opposed to basically pushing AI tools just because it's nice and shiny and all of that. And I think in that, people that are empathic and often even women tend to be quite pragmatic about what could be needed and in understanding that behind a name, behind a client or an employee, there's not just a number, there's not just a profit number, there is actually a human.
So hopefully you enjoyed those brief snippets on AI. In our next two summer episodes, we'll talk about captives and sustainability. Don't forget that all of the podcasts are available in full on all major platforms. You can also find links on the Asset Finance Connect website and on the Alpha website.